weird science, but strange.
KFI AM 640. Oh, I already said that. Okay, look. Here we go. I've put up a visual aid on Twitter. It's at Come On and Farce, so that you will see an example of what I'm talking about with this first strange science story. And it's about cats and the thing they do that we all know that they do, which is they sit in things like boxes and baskets and your suitcase. The second you zip that sucker open to pack for a trip, they're in there. They'll go into drawers. They love it. Now, scientists started to look at, what if you just put masking tape on the floor in a square? Are they going to sit in that? And the answer was, yeah, a lot of cats will sit in that too. So now they wanted to take it to the next level. What if there's a box on the floor, or a square, I should say, on the floor, but it's not really there? Now, this is not a hologram. This is an optical illusion that makes it look like you've got a square, a Kanzinsa square illusion, and it's very impossible on the radio to describe one, so I put one up at Come On and Farce on Twitter so you can go see what I'm talking about. But it's basically an optical illusion where you see the outline of a box, but it's not really in the image. It's being projected by the way your eyes work and your brain works and the way that the image has been constructed. So, at Hunter College in New York, they got a bunch of cat owners to bring in their cats. They put these optical illusions on the floor, and sure enough, a lot of those cats sat in those boxes that weren't even there. So it tells us a couple of things and reinforces that cats love to sit in squares and boxes. But it tells us something else. They see that stuff the same way we see that stuff. You know, every animal's visual system is completely different. And so just because something works as an optical illusion for us doesn't mean it'll work for a cat. I know that they've done some testing where dogs also will see a lot of optical illusions that we can see, but I don't think they react to them the same way. So the cat, now you have to ask yourself, is the cat kind of getting fooled? Are we fooling these cats by putting an optical illusion on the floor? They think they're sitting in a square? Or do they kind of understand maybe there's no real square there, but it speaks to how much they love getting into squares, which may have something to do with giving them the same feeling of safety that they get when they hide, you know, in a box or in a confined space, even though they must understand it's not the same. But maybe it activates their brains in the same way, and that's why they like to do it. Scientists also dealing with mice. If you have cats, you have to have mice. That's the way the world works. And some scientists have controlled the social behavior of mice by shining LED lights into their brains. Imagine a bunch of little mice, and each little mice has a backpack and a little headset. And in the headset, there are four different colored LEDs. You've got your blue, your green, there's a yellow one, and a red one. And this is a long-known principle, where by shining different wavelengths of light or colors of light on the brain, specific parts of the brain, they can cause the brain to react. It's called optogenetics. So here, with the four different colored lights, they were actually able to control four different parts of a mouse's brain at the same time. And here's what they found. It confirmed something that they have long suspected in mice and in other animals up to and including human beings, and that is this. When you're in a social situation, the level of cooperation that you are interested in giving another person may have a lot to do with whether you're on the same wavelength. And I mean literally. If your brain is firing in a way that is similar to the way their brain is firing, and how would your brain know what their brain is doing? But apparently, It's like vibing. You know, you talk about vibing. Oh, I met this person. We really were vibing hard. Apparently, that's a real thing. Because with these mice, they were able to make their brains fire any way they wanted. So they were able to say, let's put three mice in a room and let's make all their brains fire the same way. Or let's put them in there and let their brains do whatever they want. And they found when their brains were firing the same way, they did more grooming of each other and other cooperative behaviors. So this is the solution to being nervous going to a party. We need headsets that we can put on, and then we go to the party and we all hit like the same setting, and suddenly that party is dynamite because we're all on the same wavelength. Let's get a news update from Layla Muhammad and then more strange science. It's not just mice. It's not just cats. They put an implant in a guy, and wait till you hear what he was able to do. Back to some strange science here on the Gary and Shannon Show. 65-year-old man, paralyzed from the neck down, was able to write on a computer screen by thinking about it. That is the case study that is quite amazing. And this is out of Stanford University. It was published in the journal Nature. They put two grids of little electrodes right on the surface of this gentleman's brain. These electrodes can read the electrical activity, and they put them on the part of the brain that controls the hand and finger movements. So he's paralyzed from the neck down, and he's been paralyzed from the neck down for some time. But with those electrodes in place, he would just sit there and imagine writing words. They were able to come up with an algorithm that could decode the way his brain was firing for each letter. In other words, oh, this is how his brain fires when he's thinking of an N, and here's how it fires when he's thinking of a Q. And boom! And he can think type. I'm calling it think type, because it goes directly from what he's thinking about to being decoded and put on the screen. 15 words a minute. Now, if you're one of these Mavis Beacon maniacs, 15 words a minute means nothing to you. It's laughable. If I said, hey, I can type 15 words a minute, you would not be impressed. But most people age 65 using like a smartphone, that's about the rate that they type on a smartphone. So it's pretty good, and especially since it had been years and years since he got that spinal cord injury. He has not been using his hands and fingers for such a long time, but the electrical activity in the brain is just like he didn't even have the problem. Oh, pasta, you waster of packaging materials. You know, I'm not one of these pasta people who gets really intense about all the different shapes. And if you have a certain kind of sauce, there's the best possible shape to use for that kind of sauce. And if you don't use that kind of shape for that sauce, you're a jerk and you should not be allowed to cook at dinner parties. But there, we could all agree there's many shapes of pasta, and a lot of them, if you put it in a box, there's a lot of air in there, right? Now, if you have, you know, spaghetti, you can put tightly in a box or packaging. Basically, flat pastas require less packaging. So some scientists who work in materials design have come up with a way of making flat pasta that then turns into the shape that you want it to be when you cook it. And it has something to do with you have flat pasta and you stamp different kinds of grooves into one side of the pasta. So what happens is you throw it in the hot water and it starts to absorb it and, you know, pasta expands. But because you stamped it with these grooves, one side doesn't expand the same way as the other. And so it's almost like, I want to say it's like pasta origami maybe. And so you put in a flat thing and you cook it and it's a rotelli, for example. And the idea, of course, is you can save a lot of packaging because any shape of pasta you could actually make flat and ship flat. Let's do one last thing from the world of sports. You know, in football, but by football, I mean soccer, football. You know that sometimes even the best player will blow a penalty kick. I don't know if you remember. Was it 2004, my soccer historians, where Beckham had a penalty shot against Portugal and he blew it and everybody went, oh my God, Beckham blew a penalty shot? It happens. So here's what some scientists did. They put these special helmets on soccer players. They're non-invasive. They use some technique called functional near-infrared spectroscopy, and it can measure your brain activity when you're moving around. And then they had them take penalty kicks, and they found out something very interesting. The players that always made the penalty kicks, when they were making the penalty kick, the task-oriented part of their brain was activated. In other words, 2002, I'm being told. All righty. So they activate the task part of their brain, meaning they go, oh, I need to kick this ball 11 meters over there into that net. No problem. Boom. It's like I'm picking up this yellow highlighter. I can probably pick up this yellow highlighter a billion times and never not pick it up properly. But the people who whiffed it, instead of activating the task part of their brain, they activated their prefrontal cortex, which is the part of your brain that's involved in long-term thinking. So it boils down to this. If you step up for a penalty kick and you're just focused on getting the ball in the net, you're probably going to make it. But if you get up there and you feel the pressure and you start to think about what's going to happen if I don't make it, they're going to boo, the coach is going to hate me, you're much more likely to whiff it. And that's Strange Science, and that is the Gary and Shannon Show on a Thursday. John and Ken are coming up next, but first, a news update from Deborah Mark. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the free iHeartRadio app.